Did you know that February is American Heart Month? And that was, I think, in the mid-60s, the President Lyndon Johnson, was it? He declared February to be American Heart Month. And so a lot of people encourage you this month, you know, to make sure you're getting enough exercise, make sure you're eating right, and especially as we get older, that's important. To have maybe exams too, do a stress test and see how your heart's doing. But we're not going to talk about the physical heart here today, but I thought it was a good opportunity to talk about our heart, the inner man, the inner woman inside of us that God calls in his word the heart. And he's not talking about the organ that pumps our blood, although that's a vital organ, but he's talking about the real you, the inside of you, the part we can't see, but the part that's very real. The part where we love or hate, where we do a lot of thinking and our desires, the seat of our emotions, a lot of things like that really are encompassed in the biblical word, the heart of man. And so this morning I'd like to talk about cultivating a tender heart for God. Cultivating a tender heart for God. We read here in Matthew 13 how Jesus was teaching, and verse 2 tells us that great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So get the picture. I mean, there were so many people thronging to hear Jesus. Jesus was a pretty big attraction, all right? Controversial in many ways, but a big attraction. People came to hear. The Bible calls them multitudes. And we know when the Bible does indicate how many were in the multitude, many times it's thousands of people. 10,000, 15,000 is very possible. And so Jesus here actually gets into a ship. And I'm sure it wasn't as windy of a day as it is today. And so they get in a ship, and on a calm day on the seaside, your voice really projects well onto the land, you know, and that's a wonderful thing. And so they went out on a ship just right there in the shore, and they anchored down, and Jesus stood up in the ship, got him a little higher, but also he was able to spread his voice, and the people were able to hear. And people weren't thronging him where he couldn't even breathe, all right? So that's the situation. And Jesus teaches the people, it says in verse 3, he spake many things unto them in parables. A parable is a story that illustrates a truth about God, a truth about the kingdom of God. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so Jesus is telling not a real story that happened, but he's telling a story that helps us with these natural truths to help us illustrate spiritual realities, okay? So he talks about someone who goes out to plant a field in verse 3. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Verse 4 says, and when he sowed, when he planted the seed, some seeds fell by the wayside. All right, this was the old hands-on way of planting, okay? Not with, you know, big John Deere four-wheel drive tractor and a air seeder and that kind of thing. This is, you know, like we would plant our garden maybe, except on a much bigger scale. Verse 4, so when they sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. The birds came and ate those seeds quickly because they were on the wayside. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, weeds, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But other fell into, say it with me, good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus taught this. Jesus said this. And he's teaching, and in this parable, he has four different examples of possibility for what's going to happen to the seed. The wayside, the stony places, and where there's weeds that choke the word, and fourthly, where there's good ground. All right? I don't know how many of you have done much gardening, but I haven't really done a lot of gardening either, but I do know one thing. People who know gardening can really have a wonderful garden spot, and they can get a lot of produce out of that. And it can be a really fruitful and pleasant place to glean. But I also know that it takes work. Yeah, it takes work. Preparation and maybe fertilizer even, but cultivation. That soil has to be worked up, and there's things that need to be pulled out and thrown away, and of course maintenance even during the growing process is important as well, to allow the plants to have full potential. I know that if a garden spot, however fruitful and healthy it was at one time, if left to sit for even, well, a year, it can be very overgrown with all kinds of strange weeds, and it also hardens. And an interesting thing about a garden area is that if nothing happens to it, I mean, it grows over so thick with the things you don't want, and the soil gets very hard. In fact, even wonderful rain, which is needed for growth, actually hardens the soil if that rain is not coupled with cultivation, right? And you cultivate it not when it's raining, but you cultivate after, or, you know, some point. There's cultivation to stir up that soil so that it's not hardened. Jesus here is talking about our heart, and I want you to notice down here a few verses. His disciples in verse 10 ask him, you know, why do you teach in parables? And Jesus says, because there's some people who hear, but they're not here really to receive. And he said, there's other people who they hear these truths and they're like, wow, and they latch on to them. And so Jesus explains that, and that's not the point of my message here. But I want to go forward a little bit and go to verse 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. Now notice verse 15 is the key verse for my message today. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. So, Jesus had a way of communicating that if hearts were open, they went away blessed. But if hearts were hard, they went away confused or frustrated. Confused. In other words, God wants people to understand, but a key thing in us understanding, a key thing in us receiving a blessing from the Word of God, a key thing is whether our heart is prepared, whether the soil of our heart is prepared. God can, you know, seed can be sprinkled on ground all day, but if the soil has not been cultivated, if weeds have not been pulled, if rocks have not been rooted out, the soil won't find much place to, the seed won't find much place to grow. And so Jesus is talking to us about our heart. And he says in verse 15 this people's heart is waxed gross. It's waxed gross. What does that mean? All right. Well, gross means calloused or thick. Calloused or thick. This people's heart is thick. It's calloused. The word waxed means to be increasing. Over time, it's become this way. It waxed hard, all right? The soil waxed hard. It grew hard over time. As the rain, as the elements beat down on it, and without cultivation, without preparation, the heart grows hard. And so Jesus identifies this problem with the people, many of the people that he was speaking to. Though they had come to hear Jesus, many people went away without a blessing. That's very, very interesting. And yet, many times, children or those who just had a tender heart, like many times a child does, could receive it. And the truths were simple. They were simple. They were on the shelf where everybody could reach it. But yet those who had pride, those who were, you know, arrogant, they had all their preconceived ideas and hardness, they were unteachable, they went away confused even more. So the question is, how healthy is your heart? And talking about cultivating a tender heart for God. First of all, I want you to know that the heart is prone to wandering. We're going to talk about being aware of some spiritual heart trouble. Beware of spiritual heart trouble. The heart is prone to wander. In our songbook, we have a song called Come Thou Fount. Come Thou Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Come Thou Fount. The third verse says, Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, the songwriter wrote, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. The man who wrote that song, Mr. Robinson, many years ago, obviously knew something of the danger of his own heart when he penned those words, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander. And so we can see that in this American Heart Month of February, spiritually speaking, we need to recognize our hearts are prone to wander. To wander away from our first love. The Bible talks about that Ephesian church in the book of Revelation. It talks about the Ephesian church and how their heart was wandering. They had left their first love. You know, hearts can wander in a marriage. A couple can be in love and genuinely care for one another and other things entering in, weeds that grow up and uncultivated soil, as it were. Hearts can grow cold and a love can wander and maybe into things they shouldn't love instead of loving their spouse. And so our hearts are definitely prone to wander. In fact, the Bible says that we should not follow our heart. Society says, follow your heart. You know, what do you want to do? What do you want to do with your life? You know, pursue it with your whole heart and follow your heart. Well, Jeremiah chapter 17 in the Bible says, verse 9, it says, the heart is deceitful. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17, verse 9. And then it goes on to tell us that the Lord tries the heart. He can test our heart. He knows what's in our heart. And so our heart is not something to be followed. It's something to be guided. We need to love the right things. In fact, the greatest commandment in all the Word of God is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So God commands us to love Him. God commands husbands to love their wives. I mean, there's no option. It's a command. Love your wife as yourself, as Christ loved the church, in fact, God says. And so God also says in Colossians chapter 3, He says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your affection on things above. That's a deliberate act of the will to say, I will love God. I will love the things of God. I choose to love my wife. I choose to love my children. We can make choices. That's a big difference between guiding your heart and following your heart. We need to guide our heart to love the right things, to treasure the right things, to cherish the right things. So the heart is not something to be followed, but rather something to be guided. To be guided. Psalm 119, verse 9 through 11 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119. So we need to have that attitude of seeking God with our whole heart, that attitude of listening to God with our whole heart, of saying, I'm not going to wander away from God's commandments. I'm going to hide His word in my heart so that I won't sin against God. The importance of us guiding our heart. Every day we're making decisions of what we're going to cherish. What relationships we're going to cherish. And you know, even on social media, we enter into what are we going to love? What are we going to love? What are we going to cherish? Is it my self-image that's most important? Is that what I live for, right? Do I worship myself? Well, I certainly shouldn't. Do I, you know, is that my everything? Is that my love? I love myself? Or am I truly recognizing, hey, I need to love God with my whole heart. I need to honor God with my life. I need to love my parents. I need to love my children if I have children. I need to love my spouse if I have a spouse. I need to be faithful. There's different ways of expressing that, but we need to guide our heart. God also calls us to guard our heart, to guard our heart. And so these are important things. So I want you to notice as we think about spiritual heart problems, first of all, the heart is prone to wandering, to wandering. Secondly, I want you to notice the heart is prone to hardening. The heart is prone to hardening. There can be a loss of reverence for God. The Bible says in Proverbs 28, verse 14, it says, happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. When our heart grows hard, we lose reverence for God. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The Bible says, happy is the man that feareth alway. That doesn't mean we walk around afraid, but that means we have a reverence for God. That's the meaning of that verse. We have a reverence for God. But he that hardeneth his heart, the Bible says, shall fall into mischief. Let's go over to Psalm 95. Psalm 95. Psalm is right about in the middle of the Bible. Let's notice verse 7. Psalm 95 and verse 7. The Bible says, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. God is referring here to the nation of Israel that did not obey God and go into the promised land, and they wandered for 40 years, and those 20 years old and up died in the wilderness, and they grieved God. They hardened their heart. They didn't obey God. And so we recognize the heart is prone to hardening. And God says, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today if you'll hear his voice. You know, the people there on the hillside, on the seaside, I should say, as Jesus stood in the ship and taught people about these different kinds of soil. As he taught, essentially Jesus is saying, sir, ma'am, do you have a stony heart? Where you're going to get excited about the word, but it's just going to wither because there's no depth of earth, because the ground is so stony. Or you're going to get to a situation where the weeds in your life, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, and they choke the word. And so that you're not obedient to the word doesn't grow, there's no fruit in your life. Or maybe it is that there's so many paths that you've walked in your life, and when the seed gets thrown, it just falls on one of those hard paths on the wayside. You know, and it never actually gets into the soil because the birds of the air come and devour it up. Maybe some of those paths are like after hearing the word of God preached, you never pick up your Bible the rest of the week, right? The seed just kind of gets picked up by the birds and it's gone and forgotten about. Or the weeds that choke the word. Or how is your heart? Or, Jesus was saying, is your heart a well-prepared garden? That there's been some preparation, some seeking God, right? Where you've done some cultivation in your life. And you're seeking God. You prayed and you said, Lord, teach me. When you come to the Word of God tomorrow morning and you say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I know there's things that need to be different in my life. And God, I need your help. I'm weak. And you come seeking. You see, the people who came to Jesus seeking were people who found. There were literally people who came to Jesus and they were a mess. They were a mess. I mean, even, you know, we would say, oh, they're hopeless case. And yet, they found the truth and God changed their life. And there were other people who came to Jesus. They were wealthy. They were pretty good by most, you know, by most of their neighbors would have said, yeah, he's a pretty nice guy. And yet they came to Jesus and walked away without life, without life eternal, without the blessing. There were people who went away sad. The difference isn't the gospel. Jesus Christ loves people. The difference is not the seed. The seed is good. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the gospel of Christ. The difference is the soil. You can have an audience of 1,000 people, and the same gospel message from the Bible can be preached of how all of us are sinners and how Christ died so that we could be saved. And today is the day to trust Christ. Tomorrow may be too late. And that same audience, there can be people in there, whether it's 10 or 20 or I don't know. I mean, only God would really know. People who recognize that and they agree and they say, yes, I believe that's true and I know I'm a sinner. And they would call out in faith to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I want to be saved. And they, they call on the name of the Lord, like the Bible says, and they trust Christ to save their soul, and he cleanses them of their sin. And there's people in that audience, some could go out and even go deeper into their sinful, stubborn ways. Or some would go out with a repentant and broken spirit and would seek God, would draw closer to God. The difference is not the word preached, it's not the seed, but rather the soil of our hearts. In this American Heart Month, how is the soil of your heart? Oh, you may have received the rain from heaven, but has it only hardened your heart? You know, I've heard it said that sometimes people who are in church a lot, or whatever, they can harden their heart too. And it's not just people who don't go to church. People who've heard the word, maybe even from a child, can harden their heart. Because the rain and the sun can actually harden soil that's not cultivated, right? But that same sun and rain are essential for seed to grow. And so it's interesting. The difference is the preparation of the soil. How is your soil? We've recognized the heart's prone to wandering, the heart's prone to hardening. And I'd like to address one more heart issue. And the heart is prone to fainting when the way is hard. Sometimes we give up and we say, oh, it's not worth it. I'm done with that. I can't really develop that one fully here in the time we have. But how is your heart? How is your heart? God said today, if you'll hear my voice, harden not your heart. Are you seeking God? Are you seeking to draw closer to him and to come with a teachable attitude, a teachable spirit, to say, Lord, Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm willing to listen. I want your word to find good place in the soil of my heart. I don't know how it is with you here this morning, with heads bowed, with eyes closed. Maybe you're here and you say, boy, I'm not even sure that I'm saved. I don't know that the gospel has ever found a place of good soil in my heart. With heads bowed, with eyes closed, is there anybody not looking around? Is there anybody with just a raised hand would indicate, I'm not sure that I am saved. I'm not sure. I'd like to be sure, but I don't know. Anybody like that? Yes, anybody else? With heads bowed, with eyes closed. Anybody else? I'm not sure. By the raised hand. All right, I see that. How about someone else who would say, you know, I'm afraid there's been a lot of weeds in my life. Been choking the life out of my walk with the Lord. And maybe my heart has been hardening as well, and I can recognize some of those things this morning. And I'm seeking God. I'm making that choice to cultivate the soil of my heart. I want to draw close to the Lord. I want him to speak to me, and I want a closer relationship with God. I'm cultivating the soil of my heart. Is there anybody like that who would say, I recognize I got some things that God's been speaking to me about, and I want to do something about it? Anybody like that? Yes, all right. Heavenly Father, I can only see hands, but you indeed do see the heart. And Lord, the heart is important to you. And Lord, I thank you for the simple truths you've given us this morning from your word, from Matthew 13. And Lord, help us not to be like the ones you described there whose heart was gross, that it had waxed gross, waxed thick. It was unresponsive. Their ears were heavy. They couldn't hear. Their eyes were blind. They refused to see. Lord, help us to have a tender heart for for these who've raised the hand regarding uncertainty regarding salvation. Lord, I pray that you would help them to understand how you have paid the price so that they could be saved, how you laid down your life, Lord Jesus, so that they could be forgiven and have new life in Christ. Lord, I thank you for that. I pray that you'd bless their search and help them to come to faith in Christ alone for their salvation. And Father, for our hearts, those of us who are seeking you, recognizing that there are some things that need to be different. Our responsiveness to your word has not been all it should be. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to recognize the ways you want us to cultivate, to break up the clods of hard soil and to pick out the rocks and the weeds so that we might be more receptive, that we might be a fruit-bearing child. Lord, I thank you for this. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.